So, well, nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you.
And I met your brother. Okay, and I'm also know Beverly, your cousin.
My cousin.
Yeah. Oh, she's a sweetheart too.
Yes, she is.
And Dave and I, well, we have breakfast together every Wednesday. So
that's it's nice good. To have you here.
Well, it's good to be here. I've heard so many good things about you all that I just feel right to home.
Well, good.
Hello, look at that mustache.
Yeah.
Man, I can, my grandfather was, they used to tease him being Mexican hairless. I have some. I can never have what you have, and I'm envious.
This has been with me since 1969.
Wow. But I, you know, because it comes from the mother's side, the hair or hairlessness. And my mother's family, her mother's family all have thin hair, so I have thin hair. We all turned white at about 50, or at least started. And then my grandfather, like my kids, as little kids, had more hair on their arms than I ever had.
Where's Pastor Bing?
He's been doing on vacation. I think he was doing a funeral this week or something. I don't know.
I should be going to the Catholic Church.
Well, no, you should be going here.
I can't understand it. It's too Spanish.
Oh, okay.
So speak loud.
Well, I'm going to, I don't, I have to follow this guy, so. He's the boss. What? I follow who's ever carrying the cross. That's the boss. And some places it's little kids now, if they have them. Well, my church, they finally have some kids. They give it to the kids. What? I know. That's what's happening. Yeah, well, I know we met some families because we came one day after Pastor John said that he wanted me to preach, and I like to see the church if I can. It's hard enough this way, having seen it, to be able to do worship. I always come down, if that's okay, because people, most of our people couldn't climb the stairs.
Okay, so we follow you down.
I'll have the well, there'll be two, because I'm gluten-free, but I don't always take it that way, so. Yeah, I'll
just come down by the right.
Okay. Well, see, that's the way they're doing it now.
That's
is you do it from the baptismal font, and that way it reminds people of both.
Okay. But what I'm saying is, we'll have to take our own tray of communion.
Right. Very good.
Yeah.
Sure.
Normally, they're pretty dependent.
Well, when the pastor's gone, that's a time when you take off, you know? And I always thought that, you know? I'd say the acolytes or the people, and they use the pastor's absence as a reason for them to stay home. So I'm used to that too, so whenever you're ready. Okay, are we on? I don't usually preach anymore at the pulpit. I was a mission developer. And you know, after you set up in a school, and most of the places don't actually have, or at least working pulpits that way, so I got into the habit of just freelancing it. So it'll be a little bit different. My name is Pastor Wayne Poppert. We were at Synod Assembly last week, so I keep this so that you can see my name. And my last name is spelled P-O-U-P-P-I-R-T, but we don't pronounce it French because then it's Poopert. And when they came over here, it was originally Huppert, H-O-U-P-P-E-R-T-T-E. And they didn't know what that was in the 1880s when they came over. So it was, our language has changed. And my wife is the pastor, interim pastor at Grace Lutheran Church in Mountain Home. And she kept her maiden name because in Colorado, her name is spelled C-A-R-Y-L. Most people will see it and call her Carol, but a lot of people, if they're from Colorado, say Carl, because there's a Ken Carl Ranch. It's named for, the first name is Carl, or is Ken, and then it's Carl was his last name. So anyway, so we each have different last names. It's good to be here. Every church has it different, and the first time it's a little bit different, and I ask your indulgence, because I don't always follow exactly what your pastor did, but I did worship here one day and got to know Pastor John. So that's good. I'm originally from Colorado. I spent 10 years before I retired in Colorado Springs at Bethany Lutheran Church, but we had mold in the building, so we had to vacate because anyone with a compromised immune system couldn't worship there. And so we consolidated, we merged really with another congregation, and we had the population and the money and they had debt. So it worked out really well. And we were former LCA and they were former ALC, and the Norwegians and the Swedes didn't get along so pretty good early. And so anyway, we came together and they were really fine. And then when that happened in 2020, I got to retire. So it's been a while. Anyway, let's see, our professional, I guess we didn't say it, Jesus Christ is risen today. Is that still? No. Our sheer defense. Okay, let us we sing that now? Okay. Different churches do it different, so. Please rise for the Thanksgiving for baptism, our entry rite. In the name of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Holy and mighty Lord, gracious Father, we give you thanks, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and you created heaven and earth. By the gift of water, you nourish and sustain us all and all living things. Let us read this part together. I always do it that way. By the water of the flood, you condemned the wicked and saved those who... Noah and his family. You led Israel by a pillar of cloud and fire through the sea out of slavery into freedom of the promised land. In the waters of the Jordan, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of his own death and resurrection, your beloved son from the bondage to sin and death and the opening hallway to the joy and freedom of everlasting life. He made water a sign of the kingdom and the cleansing and the rebirth in obedience to his command. We make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit so that those who are baptized may be given new life. Wash away their sins, all transpire water, and bring the forth the kingdom. To you be given praise and honor, glory and worship through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in holy baptism, your Lord Jesus Christ received you and made you members of his church. In the community of God, people, you have learned from his word, God's loving purpose for all and all creation. You have been nourished at his holy table and called to be witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism? To live among God's faithful people, to hear God's word and share in Christ's supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of our Lord Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. I do, and I ask God to help. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, through water and the Holy Spirit, you made these people your own. You forgive them all their sins and bring them to newness of life. Continue to strengthen them with the Holy Spirit and daily increase in them your gifts of grace, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and the spirit of joy in the presence, in your presence, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Give us grace to love one another, to follow the way of his commandments, and to share his risen life with all the world through Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Okay, do we have a reader? You may be seated.
The first reading is from Acts 7, 55 through 60. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into the heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens open and the Son of God standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. The word of the Lord. The psalm is...
Thank you.
The psalm is 31, 1 through 5, 15 through 16, and if you'll read the bold print. If you, O Lord, in you, O Lord, I seek refuge.
Do not set your heritage to shame, your righteousness to liberty.
Incline your ear to me.
Rescue me.
Be a rock of refuge for me.
A strong fortress to save me.
You are indeed my rock and my fortress.
For your name's sake, lead me and guide me.
Take me out of the net that is hidden for me.
For you are my refuge.
Into your hand I commit my spirit.
You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God.
My times are in your hand.
Deliver me from the hand of my enemies.
Let your face shine upon your shepherd.
Save me.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is 1 Peter 2, 2 through 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, for it stands in Scripture. See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel, according to St. John. Oh, that's the, pardon me, I put the sermon part there. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Thank you.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way that to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." And Jesus said to him, "I have been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know me. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works that themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Do it. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. We live in a new place. Well, you know, from what Jesus is teaching, it's actually a new place. We live in a place called the already, but the not yet. The already, but the not yet. And I say that because as I was reading this lesson, and you study it all week, and you get all wrapped up in it, and you realize that there's two parts of this that are really important. One is the already, and that's the place where Jesus comes and promises to his people. He promises to us, and he has some really important things to say, that he and the Father are one. And later on we'll learn, which we Lutherans know, is we have a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit. And at this time, these poor folk didn't know that. You know, they had heard the term Father, they had heard the term God, and you know, they were trying to figure all of this out. One of the people I was at a workshop with years ago called the disciples all donkeys. Donkeys, because they had a hard time figuring out all that Jesus was saying. You know, this was new stuff. This was the kind of thing that, well, we would have other names for it today, but for them, it's like, huh? What are you saying? You and the Father are one? Well, who's the Father? Well, that's God. Well, no, they knew God as God. He was And they never said God's name, you know? He was, in Hebrew, he would be Yahweh. And they didn't say that. They only talked about the one up above. And they were confused. And there was Jesus talking to them. And they didn't know what to make of all this. And they were confused. And when we see it and we read it, sometimes we become confused. Well, why didn't they figure that out? Well, that's a part of the not yet, okay? And they're living both in the already, because they're meeting Jesus, the Son of God, who came down from earth. And we don't totally understand what this word incarnation means, that God became truly human and truly divine, that Jesus did, rather. And they didn't understand it. And you know, when I went to seminary, we had lots of discussions on what that meant, because it was hard for us to understand. And that's when I first learned about the concept of the already, but not yet. Okay? And we hear it in the words of in the words of Thomas. You know, Thomas was the one who wanted to put his finger into the side of Jesus and into the holes on his arms. He was a literalist, we would say, and he had to see it done that way. He had to hear it that way. And then once he was with Jesus, because, you know, we called him Doubting Thomas. The only part he doubted was because he hadn't been there and seen the risen Christ himself. And he said, unless I can put my hands in his side and fingers in the holes of his wrist, I won't believe. And so he got the name Doubting Thomas. But what did he say to Jesus? Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Well, they had a sense of God being somewhere, but not where. And even though Jesus was with them and talking and stuff, it's like they were trying to figure it out. They were trying awful hard. And Jesus talked about things like, on the third day, I will rise and he'll be dead. And they, how can he rise, you know? And they're just, my word for it is dumbfounded. They're following him because, you know, they believe him, they love him. And yet at the same time, he says some kind of strange things. And as I've read it and talked about it, and I remember discussions in seminary, we had a hard time figuring it out, you know? And I went to seminary after teaching for about 16 years in the Denver Public Schools. I didn't grow up in the church. I was baptized Easter Sunday of my 18th year. And everything was brand new. And I didn't know it, because I didn't go to Sunday school. I didn't have parents that talked about Jesus and the resurrection. And so I understood where these poor disciples were at, because they were taught one thing in Judaism, and they didn't know what Jesus was talking about. And we see that. But Jesus is giving some good promises. And that's what we still hold on to. At one place, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. Well, how can two people be one? They might be in the same family. I had a father, his name was Wayne, and I was Wayne Jimmy. But we were two people. But Jesus is saying, I and the Father are one. Okay? And then they have to learn something else that comes along. Because we believe that God is the Father, the Son, and who's the other one? The Holy Spirit. So then we find out that God is really three. Or is he? No, God is only one. And as Jesus was explaining this to them, they were just dumbfounded. What's he saying? And I can imagine what their discussions were, because, you know, being in seminary, most of the students had been raised in the church. I had become a Lutheran as an adult because I didn't like what was going on in the Baptist church. And their baptism was, we went underwater, and when I saw baptisms here, it was like at a font, and there was water in it, and you didn't go underneath. So you have to learn all these things that, in a way, sound confusing. And then another disciple asks a question. Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Well, if you look at me, Jesus said, you've seen the Father. Okay. Can you see how they were confused? I guess because of how I came up, I was always confused because I never heard those kind of things before. How can one man be the same as in the Father and of the Son? It's because God is one, and yet God chose to be identified by a Son that took human form in the incarnation, and then the Spirit. Well, the first place you hear about the Spirit is in the first book of the Bible. And it says the Spirit went over the waters. Okay? Well, that's kind of the Spirit, went over the waters. And that God did creating with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And, you know, in some respects, as I listen to people on TV sometimes, they break it down to some very simple things. It's just, well, if you believe in Jesus, it's all you need. But we're called to believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Interesting. Well, one of the things, and we mentioned it today, was we were baptized. I grew up kind of looking at the Bible, and I came across something in Galatians. And in Galatians it says, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Like I put on an alb today or a shirt or whatever, I'm putting on Christ like that. That's what the words say. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Now, as I look around, I see men and women. I see male and female. And yet this is saying, which I believe, that we're all equal. You know, it's been about 50 years that women have been able to be ordained. And somehow, all the men chose to ignore this part of what Scripture was saying. And they just ignored it. But this says, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. In God, we're all the same. There isn't a difference. Now, we see the difference. I can look out and tell men here and women here, and wow. But what God is talking about is that a change has taken place because we were baptized. How many of you were baptized? Okay. and I was baptized. And I told you, I was baptized as a Baptist because I didn't know growing up, my family didn't go to church. I didn't know that Lutherans and Episcopalians and Roman Catholics or any of them would baptize an 18-year-old, you know? You see, part of our trouble, I think, in our nation, because our youth are leaving the church. Why? I think it's over some of these differences, that it's the language that's getting in our way, in a way. And then, you know, if you watch TV and you watch some of the people that are preaching, and you're probably having that trouble with me, why are you talking that way, Pastor? Well, it's because as I read these things, I see where people get confused. And that I believe that we are looking for easy answers. Easy answers. And I, as I've lived my life and preached, there really aren't some easy answers. And that's why we have to live by faith. Think about that. If we live by faith, then we have to trust that what Jesus was saying is true. But that's the hard part, living by faith. And a lot of people, you know, I talk with youth all the time, and they're confused. And part of what we need to do is to get into the point of being able to say what it means when Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. Though I am going, I will come and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." Well, how do we figure this out? That's a part of it. Well, baptism is one of the ways. If we're baptized, we're taught that this is the route where faith comes to us. And some of the churches, like when I was a Baptist, they wanted me to say that I had accepted Jesus as my Savior. I didn't know enough at that point to do that. But yet I felt God was calling me. And that's why I started going to church. But they wanted me to say something that I couldn't do at that place. And yet what they didn't understand, and it was their problem, was that faith is one of the things we're given when we were baptized. And if you want to have faith, you need to get your children baptized. And, you know, and I talked to Baptists. It was easy at one time. And they were always confused, too. What does it mean? Well, some of them ended up coming up and saying, "I finally understand who Jesus is," so that they could accept Jesus, okay? And that sounds strange, but that's how it is. Because this is hard stuff to understand. And that's hard for me. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. You mean I'm wearing Christ around? Well, Jesus used some metaphors and some ways that we don't understand. And, you know, when I was in the Baptist church, one of their favorite songs was, "Jesus loves the little children, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in our sight." Well, the song is saying we're all equal. And yet, I live in a society where I taught for 16 years in a school that had been segregated, and I was teaching almost all black students because, well, they didn't want their children going with those children, and yet we're all the same in God's eyes. And they could sing it on Sunday, and yet, you know, I was starting a church, developing a congregation in Georgia. And well, there were people that you couldn't live in a certain neighborhood because you were the wrong color. Well, are we going to really take our faith and what God is teaching? Because those words, if they were being written today, would talk about that there is no more black or white or red. We're all children in God's sight. And that's where we're confused. But Jesus said there's a place for everyone in God's kingdom, for you and me, and for those people out there that aren't in church, and for us who have faith, who were raised differently than I was. But faith is something that is imparted by God. I can't go out and get faith, you know? God has to give me that gift. And for me, it was here. And for you, whether you understand it that way, is that's where your faith came from, was your baptism. And when we have the majority of our nation not baptized, is there any wonder we have trouble? There's another part of it that we get, that you get, that I got only probably 5 or 6 times. I don't remember. And that's Holy Communion. Today, we're going to have Holy Communion. And with that, we're taught this is the blood of Christ and this is the body of Christ. Okay? But what is the body of Christ? What is it when you receive it? It's bread, okay? And when I have the wine and I give you the wine, what am I giving you? The body, blood of Christ. Think about it. You see where people have trouble? Okay? And yet we live in the already, but not yet. And I say that because the promise that Christ made goes to us. And we've been promised that. And because we promised it, we have it. Okay? You can hold out your hand and say, I've been promised it, so I have it. I will be in heaven when I die because I was baptized. And Christ is in me because the bread and the wine, Christ is truly present in Lutheran terms, in, with, and under the bread and wine. Okay? And because of that, and again, it takes faith. And if we have faith, then we can hold on to that. And it becomes part of who we are. And then, because we're living in the not yet, you know, I was talking to some people at the Synod Assembly where I was last week, and they were having a hard time. They were Lutheran. They'd been raised Lutheran. Because they were having a hard time believing that because what Jesus' words, Jesus' promises are real. And their memories and their belief system was not where it needed to be. I see that in people in Twin Falls, where I live. I haven't been here to talk to people. And when I would go door to door developing a mission, there were people who thought they knew who God was, and yet they were confused. And some people were saying, well, you know, if God would only answer my prayers, maybe I could believe in him. Okay? How many of you have ever prayed and you didn't get the answer you wanted? Okay? Has that ever happened? Well, how do you trust and pray again? How? We do it. I do it. And that's the part, hard part for us. God, I was told, and I believe, God answers prayers. But not in my time frame, okay? But in God's frame, time frame, and the way God wants it, not the way I want it. You know, I can remember my father was lying in the bed and I didn't want him to die. And yet I knew, because he had been baptized, because he was a good Lutheran finally, that I didn't have to worry about it. But I was going to miss him. I still do. Why did God, well, God didn't take him. Old age, did he? Was 96. But, you know, those are the things that sometimes confuse us. That's the not yet part. You know? And I used to go to the hospital with my people and be with them at hospice. And I prayed for them. Well, the one prayer I could always say, and I don't know if you remember the Mitford series. Did any of you read that? Anyway, the main character in it was an Episcopal priest. And Father Tim was his name. I'm sorry, my mouth is getting dry. Father Tim said there's only one prayer that he ever saw that worked. And it was when he said, "Thy will be done." You know, that's the point where God, we leave it to God to make it work. Well, I hope I didn't confuse you, because you're all going to heaven. But the words of Scripture and the promises are sometimes out there. But I live right now, today, and you do. And when I go and sit with somebody in the hospital or a family, and they wonder, how come God's taking my mother or father? They're not. It's the situation. It's God made us mortal. And yet, you know, I want God to do something. And we have to just trust that God knows the better way. For God, you know, we say in the prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven," and then we go through the prayers. And that's a promise to us as well. It's something that I hold on to every day. And that the not yet is the hardest part of being a Christian, I think. Because I want it my way, you know? I want it your way. And yet we all have sometimes different ways. And you know what? In these promises, you are here a holy people. And God is the one who brought you together. We don't always realize it in the church. But we should thank God for each other. And we are the chosen people that God, that Jesus brought together, that the Spirit has put faith into. Because that's where the faith comes, is it comes through God, but it's carried by the Spirit. And we are, you are, God's beloved people. But living in this world is confusing. And, you know, I wish I could tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. And sometimes I don't know what happened yesterday. And I'm getting older. But it was God. It's God who brought us into this kingdom. And for that, we can only say thanks be to God. And hold on to the faith that you have. And don't let some of the confusion get in your way. Because we've all read in Bible study, we've all read the same thing. We all see something different in it. And that's part of the not yet. But the promise holds forever and ever. Amen. And what is our hymn? Okay. 758 is our hymn, and You Are the Light. We're telling God something God already knows, but we don't always. Okay, now it's time for our prayers of the people. Does someone come up and do those, or do you do them? The pastor does. Okay. It's every church now does it differently when you're using different ones. Okay, let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. God of life, strengthen your church to proclaim your gospel even in times of trouble. As we remember Stephen, we give thanks for disciples' ministry, ministry. Bless all deacons and strengthen them for their bridge building ministry between church and the world. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Creating God, you show your steadfast love through mighty waters, towering mountains, verdant fields, arid desert. Protect the earth. The earth's diverse habitats from the forces of pollution, erosion, extinction, and global warming. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Mighty God, your Spirit guides us into all truth. Give wisdom to the world and that one's folded, and local leaders and organizations as they begin to build and to renew relationships, strengthen unrest or natural disasters, especially those that around us. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Loving God, you make your home among us. Abide with refugees, those experiencing homelessness, those fleeing war and poverty, and all who question if there is a home in your heart. We pray for all who are sick. I remember Rosalie right now, who's part of this, has been part of this congregation, others. Okay. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Assuring God, you accompany your people amid uncertainty and change. Uphold people in this community who have recently moved, changed jobs or schools, retire or are going through transition of any kind. Lead us in your ways. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Renewing God, you gather the saints of your to your heavenly banquet. We give you thanks for the care shown to those who have gone before us. Are there some that we're naming here? Grant confidence and comfort to all awaiting the place you have prepared. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Rejoicing the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Pardon me, I don't bend like I used to. Announcements of deacons, do you have those?
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church in Market Falls, Idaho this morning. Today, in the church here, it is the fifth Sunday of Easter. Especially welcome to all of those of you who are worshiping here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday this week to Case and Kendall. Happy anniversary to Eldon and Brenda Henrich. This week at St. John's, see the readings and prayers page for this week's events schedule listed here. There are many events coming up in the days ahead. Cleanup day has been scheduled on Saturday, May 20th. If you see or know of things that need to be cleaned up or taken care of, please write them on the cleanup sheet outside the office. Are there any other announcements not found in the worship bulletin or corrections to the ones found here? I've got a question. You have the quilts put out. Did you wish to have Pastor dedicate them?
That will be in
That will be next week.
Next week. Okay, good enough then. I invite the communion assistants and the acolytes, the communion assistants to come forward this time to prepare for Holy Communion. Our Easter offertory hymn is hymn 182, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, Lord. We sing it now as our offertory hymn, preparation for Holy Communion.
I had neglected because my church does it at a different place, the peace. And the peace is very important. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share that peace. Do you go around? So many places do this now. Now, is that what you do? Okay. All right. Then it's time for our offering. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times in all places give thanks to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the gracious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb that gave himself to take away the sin of the world, and in whose dying he destroyed death, and in living, raising, brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and witness of the resurrection, and with earth and sky and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, and seraphim, and we praise their name and join the unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached the good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this, drink this, for the remembrance of me." Remembering his death, resurrection, and ascension, we wait for his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share in this heavenly food the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit we all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay. There's not very much wine in here. It's where? Oh, it's under that part. Okay. Every place does it different. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. If you need the gluten free, we have that. Body of Christ given for you. The 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 body of Christ given for you. Oh, there's one that got away. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Well, the body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. The 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 body of Christ given for you. And the body of Christ given for you. Thank you. blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Now we need to see, you came up. Okay. That's what I thought. Okay, then if you will communicate. Yes, it's the blessing for yours. Okay. For the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you, and the Lord be always present with you. Our service ends in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the hymn, closing hymn, is 759, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Sometimes we don't even know that. And it's funny, I'm used to everything is spelled out in the bulletin, and yours is done differently. I haven't done this, and even though I saw that, it's different. Oh, I know. We all do.